We are this afternoon starting a new series in the book of Galatians na tinatawag natin No Other Gospel. This is a 13-week series na aralin po natin. Now, the book of Galatians, ito yung tinatawag na Magna Carta ng Christian liberty. Ang theme niya is freedom. Freedom from the works of works-based salvation. Ang letter po na ito ay sinulat ni Apostle Paul para sa mga Gentile Christians sa region ng Southern Galatia. I know there are several issues kung North Galatia ba sinulat ito or South. I believe towards, I'm leaning towards yung view na South Galatia siya. This letter was written by Paul after niya na-establish yung mga churches during yung first missionary journey niya. Ang dahilan kung bakit po niya isinulat itong liham na ito ay dahil may mga kumakalat na huwad na mga mangangaral na nagkakalat ng iba't ibang klaseng gospel. It is a distorted gospel. It is a dangerous gospel, a lethal gospel, a gospel that has not been taught by the Apostle Paul or the rest of the apostles. Itong mga batang churches na ito na bago pa lang tanim, I think less than a year pa lang ang mga tanda na ito, are led into deception and even in division. Ang tawag sa mga huwad na mga mangangaral na ito ay mga Judaizers. Ito yung grupo ng mga Jews who confess that Jesus is the Messiah but also insisted in order to be justified sa kanilang kasalanan, they need to adhere to the Jewish laws or yung customs. In short, ang sinasabi ng mga Judaizers na ito, para maging Kristiyano ka, para ikaw ay maligtas sa iyong kasalanan, ang kailangan mo si Kristo, naniniwala kami dyan, pero kailangan mo rin siguro, hindi siguro, naniniwala kami na kailangan mo pa rin gampanan o sundin yung mga customs ng mga Jews. Kailangan mong maging Jew to be a Christian, which is really weird. Kailangan mo sundin yung mga Jews, kailangan mong maging Jew before you become a Christian. So yung kanilang paniniwala. So in short, dinagdagan nila yung means ng kaligtasan. Ang problema po dito, hindi po yung tinatawag na gospel of grace. This is not the gospel of grace na kung saan tinuro ni Paul and the apostles before him. Ang tawag po dito ay gospel plus. Gospel plus something else. Grace plus. Gospel plus circumcision. Gospel plus food laws. Gospel plus Jewish Sabbath. Gospel plus good works. Gospel plus religiosity. And so forth and so on. So in short, hindi sapat ang gospel ni Jesus Christ, hindi sapat ang grasya ng Panginoon through Jesus Christ para ikaw ay maligtas. Kailangan may gawing ka pa. Yun ang tinuturo ng mga Judaizers. Na sinasabi ni Paul, no, hindi yun ang paraan. Isinulat ni Paul ang letter na ito upang itama ang mga kumakalat na maling katuruan na ito laban sa ebanghelyo ni Kristo. Ang Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 ay masasabing main argument niya sa entire letter. And let me read it to you, Galatians chapter 16. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Crossroads Church, like the Galatians or Galatian churches, we are a young church. Like the Galatian churches, hindi ho tayo immune sa mga maling gospel. We can be deceived if not careful. If we can be deceived and fall into the wrong gospel if we're not careful. That is why my prayer ngayong hapon na ito, as we look into this passage, ay makita natin clearly kung ano ba ang gospel of grace. To grow in this gospel of grace. At maging discerning enough tayo as a church to recognize what are false gospels and fight it together. That's why the main point for us this afternoon is the gospel of grace is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The gospel of grace is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I've divided itong passage ito into three headings. Number one, gospel authority, verses 1 to 2a. Number two, gospel of grace, verses 2b to verses 5. And number three, gospel of disgrace, verses 6 hanggang 9. Number one, gospel authority. Let's read verse 1. Tingnan po niyo sa Bible sa inyo ang verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Let's stop right there. Pinapakilala ni Paul dito ang kanyang sarili bilang isang apostol, isang apostle. Isang apostol na kung saan ang kanyang apostolic mission ay hindi galing sa tao o hindi idea ng tao, kung hindi galing sa Panginoon Hesukristo at sa Diyos Ama. Yan ang kanyang intro. Now, may dahilan kung bakit ganito ang pagpapakilala niya sa unang bahagi ng kanyang lihim. I mean, Paul is always intentional. Paul is always purposeful sa kanyang isinod. So, ibig sabihin, may dahilan po ito. Because Paul is so concerned sa lumalagong issue sa loob ng mga churches sa Galatia, kagaya na nabanggit natin kanina. Yung issues na lumalago ho dito is very fundamental. It is a fundamental issue. As mentioned, false teachers crept into these churches at pinangangalat na yung gospel na pinagtuturo daw ni Paul ay hindi totoo. I mean, tinuro niya, naku, hindi ho totoo yun. Yung grace to faith plus nothing, naku, hindi tama yan. In fact, questionable nga na apostle yan. Huh. So yun yung pinagkakalat ng mga huwaran ng mga ngaral na to. They were not only challenging the validity of the message, but also questioning the credibility of the messenger. Yan po ang dahilan kung bakit sinulat ni Paul ito sa verses 1 to 2. That's why he is introducing himself. He's showing his credentials. Hindi lang niya sinabi na siya ay isang apostol, but an apostle that was not from man, but from Jesus and from God the Father. By mentioning this, pinapaliwanag niya ang true nature ng apostleship. Ano ibig sabihin po niyan? Kasi nung panahon na unawaan ng Jews, kapag ikaw ay isang apostle, ikaw ay isang special messenger, na sila ay pinagkalooban ng isang espesyal na status, authority at commission na nanggagaling sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Kung naalala po ninyo, if you were with us last year, we have gone through the Gospel of Mark, or at least some chapters of Gospel of Mark. Kung maalala niyo, chapter 3, verses 13 to 19, there was a crowd and there is a crowd of disciples. From the crowd of disciples of Jesus Christ, He chose 12 disciples, and from those 12 disciples, Jesus Christ made them 12 apostles. Okay? Apostles means one who is sent. One who is sent. These men were set apart, divinely commissioned, and they were sent to do the work. These apostles, minus Judas, were the first messengers of the gospel after the death and resurrection and ascension ni Jesus Christ. These men preached powerfully. After na nag-preach sila, they had performed miraculous signs and wonders. This is to authenticate the message and the message bearer na sila nga ay legit na mga apostles ni Jesus Christ. It was these apostles who were the foundation of the church na kung saan si Jesus Christ are in chief cornerstone. Paul, later on, joined itong group ng apostles na ito. His apostleship was not coming from any man. Ano ibig sabihin po noon? It's not coming from any Jewish council na inappoint siya, no. But from Jesus himself. Si Jesus ang nag-appoint sa 12, si Jesus din ang ag-appoint kay Apostle Paul. Asa naman ba natin makikita ito, Pastor? Sa Acts chapter 9, verse 15. You can write that down sa inyong bulletins or you can turn your Bibles there. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. After Jesus appeared to Saul, that later on naging pangalan niya si Paul. Now, a little background history. Si Saul po rito ay isang religious, zealous Jew. Na kung saan ang paniniwala niya na lahat ng mga Kristiyano dapat patayin. So siya po mismo ang pakana kung bakit namatay si Stephen, isa sa mga deacons sa New Testament. And from there, natuwa sa kanya mga Diyos, sige, punta mo pa yung mga iba't ibang lugar, patayin lahat yung mga Kristiyano, pakulong natin lahat. And from there, kasama niya on the roadway to Damascus sa Acts chapter 9, kasama yung mga sundalo ng mga Romans, from there, nagpakita sa kanya si Jesus Christ. And we know the story, or some of you probably do, na kung saan nabulag siya, sinabi niya, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is that you? Sabi ni Saul, Lord? Yes, this is the Jesus of Nazareth. Why are you persecuting my people? And from there, God blinded him. And after po noon, Jesus spoke to a disciple named Ananias. And etong sinabi niya kay Ananias, papunta si Saul dyan, and ayaw ni Ananias, mamamati tayo yan, dadamputin kami yan. Sabi, no. May plano ako para kay Saul. And nasa Acts 9:15 yan. And let me read it to you. Jesus said, "He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Si Saul daw yon, which later on became the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, sabi ni Paul, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?" So nakita niya. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 6 at saka 8, or 6 to 8. "Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Verse 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he, Paul, appeared also to me." Now, bakit paulit-ulit sa ibang letters na sinasabi ni Paul na nakita sa akin si Jesus Christ. Na-witness ako yung risen Jesus Christ. Nagpakita siya sa akin. Here's the reason why. Because the appearance of the risen Christ is key to apostleship. It's key for being an apostle. Hindi pwedeng maging apostle si Paul if he has not seen the risen Christ face to face, which is a requirement of being an apostle. And his brother apostles sa Jerusalem confirmed it. Yes, apostle siya. Two things na hindi na pwede mangyari ngayon. One, wala na yung mga apostles to confirm it. Second, no one has seen Christ face to face. Parang sinabi ni Paul, maaring wala ako nung nagpakita si Kristo sa krus, nung nilibing siya, muli siya nabuhay, nag-ascend siya sa heaven. Maaring wala ako doon, but I saw the risen Christ face to face on the roadway to Damascus. I was saved. I was called. I was commissioned by Jesus himself. Paul insistently refers to his apostolic authority to ensure, itong reason kung bakit paulit-ulit na sinasabi, that even sa first part ng Galatians, why to ensure the Galatian churches that the gospel message na tinuturo niya ay hindi fake. Na hindi ito fake news. Na legit siyang apostle. Na hindi totoo yung pinagsasasabi sa kanya ng mga false teachers. Kung hindi galing sa Diyos Ama na dapat nilang paniwalaan, that they should be putting their faith in. And Paul is saying, hindi lang ako naniniwala neto. May iba rin ang naniniwala. Look at verse 2. "And all the brothers and sisters who are with me can attest sa akin pinagsasabi. These are brothers and sisters in Christ who labor the gospel alongside si Paul." It is very important and fitting that Paul mention his credentials. Napakahalaga po sa kanyang introduction sa Book of Galatians. Hindi ito para to call attention to himself, hindi ito para pagyabang niya sa mga tagabasa niya. Oh, apostle ako, ah, tara, makinig kayo. Hindi ho. Here's the reason why. Because the gospel is at stake. The gospel is at stake. Kung hindi apostle si Paul, then the people who read itong letter na ito can reject it. Sino ba Pontius Pilato itong nagsulat nito? Ay, huwag na natin pansinin niya. Teka, apostle daw. Si Paul, apostle. He needs to defend his apostolic authority because of the message that he bears. Hindi para magyabang, hindi para gumawa ng pangalan. Because nakalakip dito sa pangalan niya, sa authority na meron siya, yung mensahe na pwedeng magligtas ng kaluluwa. Kaya kung hindi siya paniniwalaan, paano paniniwalaan yung gospel? The false teachers that crept in the churches in Galatia are changing the message of the gospel that Paul and other apostles believed and taught. Mga kaibigan, kung talamak ang paglaganap ng false teacher nung panahon ni Pablo, wala po itong pinagkaiba sa panahon natin ngayon. Napakadaming false teachers in our times, even self-proclaimed apostles. they still creep in churches. Mapapanood niyo po sila sa YouTube. Marami ho silang libro na sinulat. They conduct conferences. And they teach a different gospel. Which we will be talking about mamayang konti. Ano ba yung mga gospel na yan? But primarily, they're teaching a gospel na, oo, kailangan mo tanggapin si Kristo, pero kailangan mo rin gawin ito. Yun yung tinuturo nilang gospel. Friends, if you're part of that church who is not preaching the gospel or iniiba yung gospel, run away. Run away. If that church has even not started to teach the gospel, run away. If they're not teaching the gospel, if they're not preaching the gospel, they're not preaching God's word, what are they teaching? At anong pinagkaiba niya sa motivational speaker na hindi nakakakilala sa Diyos? What's the difference? You know what's the difference between a gospel preaching church and a preacher and a motivational speaker? Both of them can be very eloquent and articulate. Puede. But the only difference from a preacher of God's word and a motivational speaker is this, the gospel. You take away the gospel, anong tinituro ng preacher? So what is the message of the gospel? Let's go to number two. Let's talk about the message of the gospel, which is the gospel of grace. In point number two po natin, the gospel of grace. Verse 2, to the churches of Galatia. Let's stop right there. Pansinin ninyo that Paul mentioned churches and not church. He's not talking about church singular, the universal church, the Catholic church. He's talking about yung tinatawag na local churches. This means that Paul was writing to Gentile Christians who are part of different local churches sa lugar ng Southern Galatia. Bagamat hindi natin alam kung ilan ba talaga yung churches na yan na mention ng ibang konti sa Acts, pero ang pwede ho natin malaman, laganap po yung pagkalat ng mga maling katuruan sa mga lugar na ito, sa mga iglesia na ito. So what is Paul writing to these Gentile Christians? He is writing to and reminding them about the gospel of grace. Yun ang pinapaalala niya. At saan naman natin makikita yan? Look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace are two words that gives us a summary of the gospel. Grace and peace. Grace, ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng grace? Grace means unmerited favor. Ito po ang origin ng salvation. Grace is God's unmerited favor to the guilty sinner. So ano pinakaiba ng grace at saka mercy? Well, simple po. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Okay? Ang mercy naman is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. So both grace and mercy ay pinagkaloob ng Diyos sa atin sa gospel. Kasi po, the truth is, we deserve to be eternally punished. You and I deserve to be eternally punished because we have offended a holy, eternal God. If you have offended the eternal God, then yung kaparusahan is also eternal. Which means ang kabayaran ay dapat din eternal. Hindi po ba? We have offended this holy God and we deserve to suffer death. Kagaya na sinabi ng Roma 6:23, sinabi po dyan sa Romans 6:23, sapagkat kamatayan ang kabayaran ng kasalanan. For the wages of sin is death. Sa kasalanan ng tao sa Diyos, God has granted mercy. He did not exercise judgment sa atin, but He granted mercy. Paano? By extending grace sa tao. So hindi niya tayo pinarusahan kung hindi extended mercy at lumabas yung mercy na yan by extending grace. So paano? Paano na-accomplish yung mercy and grace na ito? Well, look at verse 4. Who gave Himself for us our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, grace was extended when God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, sa mundo na to, to rescue us. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue you and me from our sins. Rescue from what ulit? Pastor, hindi naman ako nanganganib. Ano ba ang rescue? Di ba rescue? Dapat nanganganib. Saan ba ako nanganganib? Well, we are in need of rescuing because we need to be rescued from God's eternal wrath. God needs to rescue you from Himself. You see that? The reason why people are going to hell, it's because of their sin. And the very person who is sending people to hell is not the demons. It's God. God knows He cannot contradict Himself. He will punish us. But because of His mercy and grace and love, paano ito? He needs to send His Son, the mercy of God, Jesus Christ. From God's eternal, Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one who lived a perfect life of obedience to the Father and also the only perfect sacrifice para sa mga makakasalanan na katulad natin. Okay? He made the great exchange. So, ibig sabihin ba, dahil mas malakas ang mercy at saka grace ng Panginoon, kaya yung righteousness niya, hindi na siya nagalit, ganun, hindi po. Para maibsan yung galit niya, kailangan niya ibuhos yung galit niya. This is where love and God's wrath meets. It's on the cross. Okay? It's on the cross. Jesus Christ made that great exchange when He took our place on that cross. Tayo dapat ang pinarusahan. Tayo dapat ang nakatikim ng purong galit ng Diyos. Jesus took our place. Imbis na tayo pinarusahan, Siya ang pinarusahan. Died the death that we deserved. God's grace sa atin was accomplished by the voluntary death of the rescuer. That's what happened. Binuhos pa rin ng Panginoon ang galit na hindi sa atin, sa anak, the very person who rescued us. Isang rescue that you and I don't deserve. You don't deserve to be rescued. I don't deserve to be rescued. But the rescuer came and made a drastic rescue na siya lang ang pwedeng gumawa. And remember, He did not rescue friends. He rescued enemies. That's you and me. We are the enemies of God. Mga kaaway tayo ng Diyos because of our sin. God, now that's love. That is love. God rescuing His enemies at the expense of the sacrifice of His loving, sinless, spotless Son. Jesus came to rescue us. And so God, on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, which means God the Father accepted yung sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our sins are paid in full. And those who repent from their sins and trust Jesus Christ at ang ginawa niya sa cross for salvation ay may kapatawaran sa kasalanan, will be rescued, will be no more enemies of God. So friends, I urge you, kung nandito ka ngayon, and you do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, ang tawag po sa atin ay kaaway ng Diyos. And yung galit ng Diyos ay araw-araw nananatili sa iyo at sa akin kung wala tayong relasyon sa Kanya through the Son. So I urge you, kapatid, if you are hearing this gospel of grace ngayon na pinaliwanag ko, talikuran mo na yung buhay ng makasalanan. Tapusin mo na yung pagyayapos mo sa kasalanan. Tama na yung ninanamnam natin yung tamis, pero malaso na kasalanan. Talikuran. And put our trust in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. This is the message that Paul taught. This is the message that saves souls. That's why if we are to preach every Friday, we preach to people in hopes that God would awaken their souls, because my humor, hindi ko kayang patawarin na mabuhay yung kaluluwa ninyo. Makulit ako, I can crack a few jokes, pero yung jokes ko, hindi kayo pwedeng buhayin. Ang pwede lang bumuhay sa inyo ay si Kristo through the gospel message. Ito yung sinasabi ni Paul. Ito yung gospel, hindi yung pinagsasabi nila. So friends, my plea to you is repent from your sins. Repent. And trust the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross for your salvation, for your soul. Ito po ang ibig sabihin ng greeting ni Paul na grace. Ano naman ang peace? Diba, grace and peace? As a result of God's grace through Jesus Christ, there is now peace between you and God. You are no longer enemies. You're friends. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Gusto mo magkabati kayo ng Panginoon? Hindi mo makukuha sa panalangin. Gusto mo magkabati kayo ng Panginoon? Hindi makukuha yan sa offering. Hindi makukuha yan sa paramihan ng attendance sa church. Hindi pa makukuha yan sa napakadaming membership sa church. Makukuha po yan through Jesus Christ. Because yung galit ng Diyos binuhos niya sa anak at tinanggap niya yung kaparusahan na yun. It is only through Jesus Christ that you can be a friend of God. We have peace with God, we have peace with fellow men, and then we have peace within ourselves, knowing that our eternity is secured in Christ. Friends, this is the gospel that Paul was preaching, the gospel that saves people from their sins, the only gospel by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Yun ang sinachampion ni Paul. Yun ang sinachampion ni Paul. This is the gospel that we must declare. This is the gospel that we must live. But friends, I wish it was that easy. Bakit po kasi? This gospel is not easy to believe. This gospel is offensive. Aside from ang hirap siya paniwalaan because Satan is blinding the minds of unbelievers, this gospel also has other competing gospels. May ibang mga gospels na nakikipag-compete sa tunay na gospel. And that is yung last point natin, number 3. And we call them gospel of disgrace. Kanina, gospel of grace. Now it is a gospel of disgrace. Which is verses 6 to 9. As mentioned, false teachers are spreading a false gospel. At ang masakit pa po dito, pinaniniwalaan pa ng mga Galatians. Alam naman nila yung katotohanan, pero biglang, ba mukhang mas maganda to ha? Sige, tama ka. Usually, Paul gives a warm greeting sa mga churches pag nagsusulat po siya. Bigyan ko kayo ng example ng mga magagandang greeting na Ephesians. Ang ganda ng greeting niya sa Ephesians. Ito yung sa Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Diba? Ang ganda ng bitaw. Ano? To the faith, to the saints. Or sa Philippians, maganda rin yung batian sa Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Tignan mo yung intro niya. So verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Ang ganda. Ako'y tuwan-tuwa sa Panginoon tuwing naaalala ko kayo. Or baka naman sa Thessalonians, maganda rin to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in your prayers. Kita mo, pinagpipray ni Paul. Pero, pagdating sa Galatian churches, iba ang tono ni Paul. There is a sense of urgency, a passionate warning. Yung po yung nangyayari doon. And he is in a way rebuking itong church na ito. Parang isang magulang ba na may 2 years old na kung saan nakikita mong tumatakbo sa highway and eventually ikaw, alak! May sasakyan! Alam mo yung tipong ganon? So, yun yung tone ni Paul. May sasakyan. Delikado yan! Huwag niyong patulan niya, huwag niyong pa... Yun yung tone. Verse 6. Remember that tone at basahin natin yung verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Napaka-imposible ninyo. Bakit pinagigingan nyo to? Tabi ko nga to, baka mahamadi. Yung tone ko na iba. Na iba yung action. Ang mas matindi yung sinabi niya sa chapter 3. Gusto niyo mabasa? Basahin ko? Di mo sa chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Kita mo yung tone? Hindi pa rin, I thank my God every time I remember. Hindi. Hangal! Anong ginagawa ninyo? Halos mag-isang taon pa lang na na-preach ni Paul itong gospel na to sa churches na to, ng buong puso nila tinanggap, tapos biglang nabalitaan niya na may nagdagdag ng gospel, agad-agad naman sila naniwala, agad-agad nila nilunok yung mga mensahe na yun. So tingnan po natin ulit yung verse 6. Paul used the word desert, or sa ibang translation means turn away to a different gospel. The word desert or turn away from the gospel is a serious thing. Sabi ni John Stott, the word turning means to transfer one's allegiance. In short, nag-iba ka ng kakampi. Okay? Yun po nangyayari dito. Ito ang term na ginamit ng isang sundalo na kung saan tinalikuran niya yung kanyang mga kasamahan at kumampi sa kalaban. Yun yung term na turn away. Okay? Yun yung term na ginamit ni Paul. So ano sinasabi ni Paul? Paul is saying, bakit kayo lumihis sa gospel message that led you to salvation? Bakit tumatalikod kayo dito? Nagtataka ako sa inyo, namamangha ako sa inyo, napaka-imposible ninyo. Bakit kayo traidor sa grasya ng Diyos na nagligtas sa inyo? To turn away from the true gospel also means to turn away from Christ. Nasaktan po si Paul dito eh. Na-offend siya. He's grieving because daan-daan niya nakikita na tumatalikod na sa gospel, tumatalikod na kay Kristo. Parang kasi consider niya na spiritual children na niya yung mga tao na ito. Makikita niya sa chapter 4 verse 19. He calls them children. Bilang magulang, I think for those of you na magulang, you want to see your children grow in good health. As per Paul, he wants to see them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. He wants to see the Galatian Christians to grow in Christ. Pero ito ang ginagawa nila. That's why he is broken. He is grieving. Itong passion ni Paul should remind us the truth of the gospel should matter to us. Kung may kapatiran, listen, kung may kapatiran tayong lumalakad papalayo kay Kristo o lumalayo sa paniniwala sa salita ng Diyos, friends, this should grieve us. This should cause sorrow in our hearts. Friends, does it still grieve you knowing that a loved one is turning away from Christ? Maybe you have a loved one dito na kung saan ang layo na sa Panginoon. Nalulungkot ka pa rin ba ron o pinabayaan mo na? Or maybe hindi yun ang question para sa'yo. Maybe the question for you is this. Does it still grieve you that you are continually turning away from Christ? There was a Christian couple who I admired so much. Dahil sa kanilang pananampalataya kay Kristo, dahil sa kanilang pagmamahal sa iglesia, talagang pinaglilingkuran nila ng buong puso, lakas, oras. Last year, I found out galing sa ibang mga kapatiran na yung mag-asawa na ito started to believe a different gospel. They started to believe na si Jesus Christ is not God. They started to believe na hindi totoo ang Trinity. Yung mga pastors at saka elders nila tried to pursue them with love, but they completely turned away from the truth of the gospel and started teaching a different gospel. This grieved the church. This grieved me personally because I love this couple. Friends, as a church, as a covenant community dito sa Crossroads, we should grieve if a brother or sister in Christ is running away from Him. And we should pursue them with love. Maybe you're here today at may kilala ka sa church na to, or maybe it's not from this church. A relative, kamag-anak, mahal sa buhay ay napakalayo na sa Panginoon. Does it still grieve you? Did you stop pursuing them? Even praying for them? let us be like Paul, who cries out to the Lord for their souls. Mga ilang warnings when we turn away from the true gospel. Una-una, ang pagtalikod sa tunay na ebanghelyo ay pagtalikod sa Diyos Ama. Kapag tumalikod tayo sa tunay na ebanghelyo, tumatalikod tayo sa God of grace who sent us the ultimate provision, si Jesus Christ. Some would say, I like God, I love Jesus Christ, okay naman ako, pastor, pero ang hindi ko lang kaya siguro tanggapin na ang Diyos ay kaya magparusa ng mga makakasalanan. Ang hindi ko lang kayang tanggapin is pinadala niya anak niya para parusahan siya, para sa aming, so kasi hindi magagawa yan ng isang mabuting Diyos. Many people want, here's the problem with that comment, many people want Jesus, many people want God the Father, but they don't want the Jesus and God the Father of the Bible. They want a Jesus and God according to their own wanting. So the question is the Jesus Christ that you believe the Jesus Christ of the Bible? Or baka naman ito yung Jesus Christ ng sarili mong imahinasyon. Second, ang pagtalikod sa tunay na ebanghelyo ay pagtalikod sa grasya na nagmumula kay Kristo. If we believe that salvation was Jesus plus added good works or religion, then we have disgraced the gospel of grace and have rejected Christ. If you turn away from the gospel of grace, then you are rejecting Jesus Christ. Third, kapag tumalikod tayo sa tunay na ebanghelyo, wala na tayo ibang pupuntahan. Yung pong totoo. Akala nyo may mapupuntahan pa tayo ibang mga means ng salvation? Wala po. Look at verse 6 and 7. Yun ang sinasabi niya rito sa verse 6 and 7. Basahin natin. You are turning to a different gospel, not that there's another gospel. Sure, wala nang ibang gospel sa kapapupunta. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Paul used the term different intentionally. Di ba? Ginamit niyo word na yan, different. Again, intentional na ginawa ni Paul yan. The word different here means different nature. So in short, ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, you are turning to a totally different news. So when he says a different gospel, he's saying this is no gospel at all. Kung hindi ka naniniwala sa ebanghelyo ni Kristo, iba ang pinaniniwala mo at hindi yun ang makakatulong sa iyo. Maybe some of you are saying, bakit ganun na lang kabilis mamalihis ang mga Galatians, pastor? Kung alam din ang katotohanan, bakit na lang sila basa-basa umalis ang ganun? Dapat alam na nila to. Hina pala yung mga yun eh. Friends, listen. If it's possible na yung mga Galatians ay malihis sa tunay na gospel, guess what? Posible rin tayo malihis sa tunay na gospel. False teachers, remember, false teachers are subtle. False teachers are very likable people. Ang galing magsalita. Their teachings are quite convincing and attractive. And their personality are very, very, like I said, likable. Ito yung mga tipong tao na gusto mo makasama. And their message, quite compelling. That's why it's easy to follow people who are easy to the ears. Now, as a church, I want to give us quick applications. I'd like to give you real quick different types of false gospels. Some of them you already know, but for the sake of the context of this passage and for the protection of our hearts and our purity of the gospel in this church, let me give you 7 false gospels. Number 1. And it's coming from the book Counterfeit Gospels from Trevin Wax. Una, may tinatawag na I want to be happy gospel. I want to be happy gospel. Ano ibig sabihin po niyan? Ito po yung gospel or message that makes our pursuit of happiness the central goal ng life. Ang goal sa iyo ng Panginoon ay lagi kang maging masaya. Lagi, narinig niyo ba yun? Totoo ba yun? The thinking behind sa false gospel na to is God wants you to be happy. Is this wrong? Listen, true happiness is found in union with Christ. That's true happiness. Happy, sabi sa Psalm 32:1, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. Yan ang tunay na happiness. So, pastor, ang sinasabi mo ba na God, hindi totoo that God is for my happiness? Hindi ba totoo that God wants me to be happy? My answer to that is this. God wants you to be happy. Hindi mali po yun. Tama po yun. But, Isang malaking disclaimer. A happiness, not happiness, that is devoid of holiness. Not happiness that is devoid of holiness, which means God doesn't want you to be happy on things that doesn't make God happy. God wants you to be happy on the things that makes Him happy. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Kasi sabi sa Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. God wants you to be happy. But God doesn't want you to be happy with sin in your life. God doesn't want you to laugh about sin sa buhay ng ibang tao. God doesn't want you to keep enjoying sinful relationships. God doesn't want you to continue sinful vices or things that control us. These are hard heart issues, hindi po ba? But God is for your happiness. But if you have not found true happiness in Christ, then you have not found true happiness. Yun yung I want to be happy gospel. Second, maling katuruan, is the self-esteem gospel. Ibig sabihin na self-esteem, yung pinalalakas yung kumpiyansa mo sa sarili. These are mostly, marinig mo sa mga motivational speakers. This minimizes the biblical definition of sin and define it as lack of self-esteem. Remember, God, ito yung sinasabi niya, ito ang madalas mo, God created you to be a winner. In my messages that I didn't go, God wants you to be a champion. God designed you to be victorious. So go. Philippians chapter 1, diba? I can do all things. Masushoot ko yan. Yayaman ako. So why? Because palalakasin ng Panginoon ang iyong kumpiyansa. Ang nagcha-champion ng ganitong katuruan, you need to understand kung saan nanggagaling ito, is from Robert Schuller. Sabi ni Robert Schuller, this is how he defined born again. To be born again means that we must be changed from a negative to a positive self-image. Yun daw ibig sabihin ng born again. Kung negastar ka, dapat maging positive ka lagi. Masyado ka naman kasi negative eh. Dapat positive. Yun daw ang pagiging born again pag naging positive ka lagi. From inferiority to self-esteem. From fear to love. From doubt to trust. Yun ang pagiging born again. That is a dangerous gospel. When we give advice that focuses, listen, if you are a person who gives advice that focuses more on trusting on your self-confidence, positive thinking, good vibes, horoscope, dapat maganda ang aura mo ngayon, kung yun ang mga advice na binabato mo, what you're promoting, what you're teaching is a self-esteem gospel. Mali ba yun? Yes, because no one is righteous, no, not one. You need Christ. If tumaas ang self-esteem mo, why would you need Christ? Why would you need the comfort of the Helper, the Holy Spirit? If you have a positive thinking, how would you fight sin? Kasi positive ka lagi. Third, the prosperity gospel. Of course, this is a famous gospel. If you trust Jesus in your life, pag nagtiwala ka sa Panginoon Jesus Christ, pag tinanggap mo siya, ikaw yayaman, magiging malusog, magiging successful, health, wealth, and prosperous. The gospel promises a better life, prosperous life. Name your problem and Jesus will answer it. Ina-apply mo pa nga, trabaho, isulat mo sa papel, itaas natin yan, lagyan ng lobo, paliparin, ipag-pray yan. Name it, claim it. And God will answer it. Pastor, di ka ba naniniwala sa prosperity? Yes, naniniwala ako sa prosperity. But true prosperity will not be found here. If your ultimate prosperity is here, you will be disappointed because the things of this world will fade, including relationships, including your youth, including your health, including your riches. Why would a fool trust on the things of this world na hindi rin naman niya maatim for the rest of his life? And yes, I use the term fool because that's us and we're guilty. Now, ano ba ang mga marks ng mga prosperity gospel people? Well, first of all, pag nagbibigay siya ng tithes and offering. Pag nagbibigay siya ng offering, ano ang kanyang nasa puso? So the question is, has your generosity become a way to get something from God? Ang dahilan ba kung bakit generous ka sa paglagay ng mga offering sa church? It's because naniniwala ka na babalik ito ng doble at higit. Does God bless? Of course God blesses. But if you're trying to bribe God and thinking that this is a good investment, okay, Lord, I'm going to give 20%, magkano rin yan? 5,000. So kung kukumpitin, Lord, dapat ang balik niyan, 10,000. Doble, higit. Hindi ko na hiningi yung higit, doble na lang. Listen, that is a very dangerous understanding why we give. We give generously from the heart with joy out of gratitude of what we already had received. What have we received? Christ. The reason why you give, because He gave. And this is an act of gratitude. Lord, I deserve nothing. This is my money. I'm trusting you with the provisions. I don't know kung ano mangyayari sa aming financial situation, but I know out of my gratitude sa ginawa mo, sa pagligtas mo sa akin, bibigay ko ang aking todo. How about serving in the ministry? Are you expecting something in return? Kaya ka naglilingkod sa ministry? When we serve in the ministry, it ought to always be motivated with thankful hearts for the great reward of salvation na pinagkaloob ng Panginoon. Fourth, I'm going to go real fast because of time. The universalism gospel. Ang ibig sabihin ng universalism gospel, marami po nagtuturo na ito, ay, mga church na yan, pare-pareho lang yan. Isa lang ang pupuntahan yan, heaven. That is the universalism gospel. Regardless kung ikaw ay Hindu, Buddhist, kung ano man ang mga reliyon mo, basta ikaw ay mabuti lang, gumawa ka lang ng kabutihan, and then makikinggan ng Panginoon yan. Ang problema ko lang dito is yung, well, ang problema natin dito is John 14:6. Because there is an exclusive claim galing kay Jesus Christ that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's exclusive. Hindi iba-ibang way. Only one way. And that's Jesus. Number five, the good, the God looks at the heart gospel. Narinig niyo ba yan? Oh, God would understand. Nakikita niya yung nasa puso ko. Now, this is a false gospel na madalas ka paniwalaan. Ito yung premise, ito yung understanding that God can see the goodness in each person's heart and that He will pardon or He will bless. O, alam ko, marami ako nagawang mali, pero alam ni Lord yan. Diba? Nakikita ni Lord yung nasa heart ko. Alam ng Panginoon. In short, sinasabi mo, alam ng Panginoon kung gaano ako kabuti. Yun ang sinasabi mo eh. But again, Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10 talks about the heart that is deceitful and sick. Who can understand it? Matthew 15, 19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, falsehood, slander. Gusto mo yung pag-usapin yung heart mo? Yun po yun. You don't want God to look at the heart. It will condemn you. That's why huwag natin paniwala. Number six, the personal testimony gospel. I'm guilty dito before when I was sharing the gospel, nung shinare ko kung paano ako nilagtest ng Panginoon. That's a wonderful thing. But to take yung testimony mo kung paano ka binago ng Panginoon as the gospel is heresy. Mali po yun. The gospel is not about me and what happened to my life since I received Jesus Christ or because of the amazing transformation and blessing na nangyari sa akin. I mean, those are wonderful, great things, but if it overshadows the person and the redemptive work of Christ in saving one's soul, then that is heresy. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and what He has done, hindi yung ginawa mo o nangyari sa'yo. John Piper says, the benefits of the gospel are not the same with the gospel, just as the fruit is not the same as the root. End quote, 2 Corinthians 4:5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We proclaim Jesus Christ. Seven and last. Ito, dagdag bawas gospel. Yun yung number seven. Dagdag bawas. Dagdag, We might fail to emphasize the gospel by focusing on the good works. So parang tutulong ako, feed the poor. I mean, these are good things. But if yun ang kinukonsider mong gospel, oh, kailangan kong si Jesus Christ, pero kailangan ko pa rin magdagdag, then may problema po doon. Tawag doon legalism. Yun ang problema ni Paul sa mga nagtuturo sa Galatians. Meron din tinatawag na bawas gospel. We might be tempted to make the gospel a little bit kinder. Masyado naman ata marahas yung mga kung paano ka mag-preach, pastor. Kailangan siguro bawasan natin. Huwag natin pag-usapan ng hell. Di ba? There are many other distorted gospel that there is only one gospel. Paul is so serious about this that he even cursed himself kung siya ay maglilipat ng ibang gospel. Let's read 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. He's cursing himself. In short, mampunta na ako ng impyerno. As we have said before, so now I said, if anyone is preaching you to a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Two things. One, I'll give an illustration. And second, I'll give my last comments and then we're done. A woman asked John MacArthur this question. On how much authority does a pastor have in the lives of his congregants? Ano daw authority ng pastor sa kanyang members? Pastor MacArthur answered this, none. No authority. I have no authority in this church. I have no authority personally. My experience does not give me authority. My knowledge doesn't give me authority. My education does not give me authority. I have no authority. My position doesn't give me authority. My title doesn't give me authority. Only the Word of God has authority. Christ is the head of the church and he mediates his rule in the church through his word. I have no authority. You see, Paul just said, no authority. I do not have authority beyond the scripture. I can never exceed what is written in 1 Corinthians 4:6. To do that is to become, Paul says, arrogant and to regard yourself as superior. I have nothing to say to you that puts any demand on you if it's isn't from the word of God. If I'm telling you what God has said to his word, that has authority. But I cannot exceed what is written. So the pastor in himself has no authority. And then he quotes 1 Corinthians 3:5. Friends, if I or any other pastors dito sa Crossroads or any guest preacher dito preaches a different gospel, stop us. Stop us. Because it is one of your primary responsibility as members in congregations of a local church to guard the purity of the gospel from the pulpit. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul found out na may isang kasalanan na nangyayari sa loob ng church, yung anak is may karelasyon niya, yung stepmother niya, galit na galit si Paul. Alam mo kung sino yung inaway niya? Hindi yung pastor. Ang pinagalitan niya, yung Corinthian church. Hindi ba dapat pinalayas niyo na yan? Dinismiss niyo, inexcommunicate niyo na yan? You can look at 1 Corinthians 5. You have a responsibility to guard the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this church. Friends, let us pray that we would have eyes to hear, eyes to see clearly, ears to clearly hear kung ano ang tunay na gospel of grace, and that we would grow in discernment as church to recognize what are false gospels and counter it. Bakit kamo? Because the gospel of grace is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Let us pray. Salamat sa gospel of grace, Lord. It is grace because wala kaming contribution sa kaligtasan namin. It is purely by grace through Jesus Christ. Kung hindi mo kami niligtas, Panginoon, wala kaming kapamamaraanan para iligtas ang aming sarili. So I pray that your Spirit would cause people's hearts na nandito to turn away from their sins and trust Jesus Christ, yung ginawa niya sa cross, for salvation. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today. As they hear the gospel of grace preached, Would you edify them? Would you give them hope? Would you encourage them? Would you empower them to herald the gospel that saves? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.